You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. This is the post-first round of the draft episode. The second round and third round is going on as we speak, as we're recording. But we come to you today to discuss yesterday's happenings. The Seahawks traded back, which, you know, everybody expected them to do. But the player they selected was a little unexpected, and we'll get into that. But first, we're going to introduce ourselves. I'm Grant Goldberg. I do social media stuff for a website that covers the Lakers, forumblueandgold.com. And Spike writes about Seattle sports for The Stranger. Spike, I know you're not a big fan of this pick. Is there a specific reason why, just to start the show, that you are not a fan of the Rashad Penny pick?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I hate this. Okay, let's just dive in.
Yeah.
Seahawks trade back to 27. And as I predicted, they did not trade back twice because their draft board was limited, as John Schneider talked about going into the draft. There probably weren't a lot of guys sitting there at 30, 31. But it is a ludicrous pick to reach on a running back in the first round. First round picks, you have the advantage of a fifth-year option, which for a running back is a nightmare because you're paying them over what the market would provide them with, so you lose that value from a first round pick. And then Rashawn Penny, it's a reach. They could have gotten him at 50, probably. Like, Nick Chubb just went off the board to the Browns
at 35.
35, which, you know, like, okay, like if they had drafted Chubb, it would be like, I still hate the pick. You should not take a first round running back. They should, if they really wanted a running back with that first pick that they had, which is ludicrous and they shouldn't, but if that's really what they wanted, they needed to get back into the second round. So it's just a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way, like, even if, like, let's say, so oh God, I hate picks so much. So John Schneider was talking a lot in his post-draft press conference about how he really loves that Penny didn't complain about splitting carries as an underclassman, which is a great reason to draft a guy in the fourth round and a really terrible reason to draft a guy in the first round. But let's give the benefit of the doubt and say that he's thinking of him as an Alvin Kamara type, where at Tennessee, Kamara was underused. That means he's fresher coming into the league. Let's say Penny is a Kamara type. Let's say he's that good, has an instant impact on what in the 98th percentile of what you would expect him to do, which I think is what Kamara represents. That he still is just even money on what we spent on him. The 98th percentile return for this pick is, you know, Alvin Kamara would have been worth that pick that we just spent. It would have been worth 27th in the first round. So that's what we need to have happen for this pick to pan out. I don't love that he, you know, Kamara was benched or, like, was putting carries at Tennessee in the SEC. I mean, this is at San Diego State.
Yeah, the Mountain West.
I don't like anything about this pick. I don't like it.
Like, you can
really hate it.
You can look at the production, and you can, you know, give them credit for those numbers. But we just talked about it. It's in the Mountain West, and not to discredit him for, you know, producing like he did, but you got to factor in the competition. I don't get it.
It's lunacy. And I mean, you've got Baltimore trading up right behind to get Lamar Jackson. Like, whatever, like, we should have just taken whatever the Eagles took for that pick, just, like, tweak that up and give them 27 and pick. I actually don't know how far they slid, but Penny will be wherever Baltimore is right. Next pick, I can assure you. Like, this is, like, the, and, I mean, look, Will Hernandez was there and Harold Landry were there. And Will Hernandez has now gone off the board with the second pick of the second round. Harold Landry is, you know, probably going to go off in the next five picks. Those two picks made so much sense. And if they're going to go running back, trading back a little further and grabbing Nick Chubb made sense. Like, there were three options that made sense. Or honestly, sticking at 18 and picking the cornerback that the Packers took. I mean, there were a lot of options that didn't suck, and they didn't do it. They took the suck. They picked
They have so many other areas they need to address. Yeah. We've talked about that for so long.
Good.
Was a pass rusher on the board. There was, you know, outside help at cornerback. There was, you know, offensive line help. Yeah. I mean, Will Hernandez just went with a 34th pick.
Yeah, and I think he's going to fit really well at New York. I think that's a great pick for them. I hate that they took I'll put it this way. When the Bills traded up to grab Josh Allen over Josh Rosen, I was like, well, there's no way the Seahawks will do something dumber than that. And then they were like,
they tried their best.
Yeah, they went hold my beer on it. I don't know if they succeeded. The fact that the Bill, oh God, I hate everything about yesterday is dreadful as far as I'm concerned. Because, like, we can get into it, but, like, Rosen going to the Cardinals is not good.
No.
That's not good. It's not good that every other team in our division has a good young quarterback now. I don't like that.
No. And the Seahawks only got one more pick by trading down.
76 is, like, again, like, if they had nailed, it's because they took a running back, they cannot have nailed 27 hard enough. You know, again, even if they got Kamara, that is just hitting. That's not nailing it. If they nailed 27 and picked up 76, which is where they're picking next, that's good. And they pick up another six, and they'll be able to ideally package a bunch of guys and get into the third round again, have two third-rounders today. That would have been fine. And if they'd used one of those third-rounders on a running back, that would have been fine. Everything would have been fine. They really blew it. We need a break already? I feel like I haven't even started yelling about this pick.
All right, hold on. Yeah, I think we need a break. I think we are letting our emotions get the best of us. So we're going to be right back right after this. We are back with more Locked On Seahawks with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. We came back. We're a little more composed. And
I am not. I made no promises that I'm
okay,
more composed.
Speaking on my own behalf, I'm a little more composed. We're going to take a different angle. We started off on a really negative foot and with reason. But we're going to try to be the optimists now. We'll try our best to be the optimists. Yes. So we're going to look at Rashad Penny, and we're going to look at the positives with picking him, because they did overpay for him, but, you know, he did produce those numbers at San Diego State, and there are some positives to having him on your team. Spike, let us hear one or two off the top of your head about Rashad Penny and what he can bring to the Seahawks.
So the first positive is potential durability, which is to say he has not been hurt in the past. And he doesn't have a ton of miles on his legs. So if you're going to take a running back early and it's not a home run like Saquon Barkley, you might as well get a guy who is likely to produce for the duration of his rookie contract. And Rashad Penny is that. And they talked about his durability a great deal. Pete and John did during the post-draft press conference. And we talked on this podcast last time about how influential the Malik McDowell miss would be on the team's drafting philosophy going forward. And how that would shape their picks. What this feels like to me is not a reaction to the Malik McDowell pick, but a reaction to the CJ Procise pick. A reaction to picking a fragile running back who has, you know, immense upside, but has massive durability issues. Here they're picking someone who, again, still has that upside, but doesn't have those durability issues. And so, if I'm looking for this again, like, even look, I'm on record. I don't like this pick. Right. And there's no swaying me. But if we get four good years out of Penny in terms of durability, playing 16 games, you know, starting splitting the carries, but being the sort of guy who can run the ball, you know, probably not 30 times a game. It's not, we're not moving back in time, but 20 times a game, you know, that's not the end of the world. And if anyone can do it, he is set up to do it in the way that, you know, I know Le'Veon Bell doesn't sound like a guy who's been super durable just because he missed some pretty high profile games. But in a similar way to Le'Veon Bell, I think you've got a guy who's got a little less tread on his legs, which is a benefit. So that's a positive to this pick. Grant, do you have a positive?
Yeah, I'll go off of what you said about durability. And, you know, one thing that Seattle really needed last year was the kind of bell cow style running back, someone who can, you know, take a high number of carries. And, you know, watching some of his runs at San Diego State, I told you before we started recording that I was watching only his highlights to sell me on him. Yeah. But I was watching him, and, you know, he has that, you know, one cut ability to just, you know, get it and go after one cut, and he runs through arm tackles. He's patient. He sets up his blocks, and so I think he's going to be a little more consistent, and, you know, he's patient, but when he sees the hole, he hits it. And yeah, I think that I would have liked a running back that could have a little more value in the passing game. But, you know, for what Penny is, you know, he's consistent at what he does, which is, you know, running hard and, you know, hitting his holes. So we're going to need,
I got one more thing I'm positive him. Which is, you said he's not as influential as you want in the passing game, and I hate that. I hate that about this pick so much. But he is a special teams guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, when you talk about his value coming from his durability, putting him back on punt returns makes me physically nauseous. So this positive counteracts the last positive, but the fact that he is potentially an impact player in the punt return game,
multifaceted,
that's something that is, you know, he's multifaceted without being the facet you want from modern running back, which is great pass catching. But you know, I don't know, I guess you can't get that in the first round anymore.
We talk about that we talk about that durability and picks influencing other picks like this Penny pick. And Tyler Lockett hasn't been the healthiest player in his Seattle career. And so, you know, I can't help but think maybe, you know, John and Pete are preparing in a way in that sense. But even then, it's still a serious overpay, especially if you want somebody with returning ability.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, I don't know.
Live on air, I'm trying to find ways to justify this pick.
No, I think we did. I mean, the other thing, you mentioned the stats. Like, he had a great year last year. He had a really great year last year.
And then the Buccaneers just took Ronald Jones.
He had a great Senior Bowl. They just took Ronald Jones? Okay.
Yeah. That's arguably another guy that you could have made an argument for the Seahawks to pick. I'm going to stop. You know what? I'm going to stop comparing all these guys because, you know, Penny's the guy that's on the team.
And yeah, I like Ronald Jones for us, weirdly. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah, we got Penny.
It doesn't do us any justice to divert from that.
We're losing our cool again. We should take one more break and come back with, and we're going to talk a little bit about what the division rivals did and another fun move that the Seahawks made that I do not hate. We'll be back a little more Locked On Seahawks right after this.
We are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. We last left you talking about Rashad Penny and the Seahawks drafting him at 27, but there were a couple teams within the division that picked higher than the Seahawks. The 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals both made top 10 picks. And, I mean, most notably, and we referenced this earlier, but Josh Rosen, the Cardinals traded up for him. He was left on the board at number 10. And the Cardinals got the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about the Niners picking McGlinchey, he's a solid, he was like, you know, the best of the non-Quentin Nelson O-linemen, but like, that's fine. You know, they have the ninth overall pick and they restocked the O-line with someone who should be good but not great. Like, there's no reason to freak out or make fun of them. That's just like a normal pick. The Josh Rosen pick hurts.
Yeah.
I think Josh Rosen has the capacity to be a really good NFL quarterback. I think Arizona's a pretty good landing spot for him.
Yeah.
I think that they are in, you know, good shape going forward at quarterback, and it's a bummer, and it's wild. To me, it's wild what the Bills did.
Yeah.
The Bills not grabbing Rosen and grabbing Allen at 7. Oh, man, I feel like that's going to haunt their franchise and by proxy haunt our franchise because I'm like, Arizona's like, that's a nice pick. And like Rosen, you know, he's garnered so many comparisons to Aaron Rodgers, and Sam Bradford is no Brett Favre, but he's a good guy to play behind. Like there's not, and you know, he's Sam Bradford. Josh Rosen could be starting by the end of this year and probably will be. And, you know, the Cardinals will be able to make a pretty easy transition after 1 year regardless. Like, it's just a nice pick. They didn't have to pay a ton for him either. They really were able to get him at a reasonable price, which is a bummer, as opposed to the Bills, who had to pretty much overpay to get Allen. I don't know, man. I don't know what to, like, I feel like the Saints paid more for Marcus Davenport than the Cardinals had to pay to get Josh Rosen.
And yeah, we can talk about these hauls a little like later after this too, because I told you before we started recording that I think the Seahawks could have gotten a little bit more for pick number 18. But I thought Rosen was, you know, one of the, I mean, obviously better than Josh Allen. And there's, you know, you can make a case for him to go, you know, in those top three picks. And so, you know, it sucked because I've been on record on this podcast saying that I think the Cardinals are, you know, a quarterback away from being that disruptive team in the NFC West. I mean, they're 8-8 this year, and, you know, that's without their best player in David Johnson. And that defense is still really good. I think they need a little more help on the outside with receivers. But, yeah, that Rosen pick, I mean, like you said, for the price that they got him at, that's a home run. That's, you know, drafting better value than the pick.
It's my second,
what the Seahawks did.
I don't know. I really like the picks that the Browns made, but I think my favorite pick of the first round is James to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, that's great value.
That was a great pick at 17 for them. Fills a need, good value. I think how am I blanking on his name? He's on the Ravens now. He was on the Chargers forever, safety. Eric Weddle. He's finally, they're able to replace Weddle at safety.
And they have a really good secondary already.
Yeah, and their pass rush is so good. I just feel like, and James is just such an alpha beast. He's just a beast. I just feel like that defense is gonna really come together this year. I like Ward and Mayfield. I thought Mayfield was the best passer in the draft, so I'm impressed that the Browns went with maybe the analytics choices in Mayfield and then a cornerback at 4. But I think they made the right choices there. But other than that, I really like Josh Rosen to Arizona.
You can make the argument for putting together Chubb and Myles Garrett. But the Browns need help everywhere they can get it. So
yeah.
You can't really go wrong when you're drafting a player of that caliber.
And when you talk about a guy like Ward, cornerback position, I will say with the Seahawks, we've got a little bit of good news.
Ooh, a little transition. All right. So we got a little bit of good news, like Spike said. The Seahawks brought back Byron Maxwell.
Yeah. It felt inevitable all offseason. It's such an obvious. Yeah. It's such an obvious need and such an obvious fit. It might have been that the Seahawks were literally sitting there and being like, at 27 or wherever they trade back to, they're going to trade back once. If they hit a cornerback there, maybe they don't re-sign him, but they didn't hit their cornerback, so they did. I think it really worked out, and I think I think he's going to play a really solid role on the team this year, and it really makes that cornerback position less of a need.
Yeah.
Which is good. I still don't know where they're going to get a pass rusher guard, you know, in the third and fourth round. Like, you don't find pass rusher. Bummer.
No, we're going to go to the positives again. Byron Maxwell adds depth at the cornerback position, so they can still address it in the draft. It's a 1-year, $3 million deal. It's a cheap deal, and then you know, you get pretty quality play from Maxwell. You know, he played pretty well last year, and so I don't see the Seattle trading up to getting that pass rusher. So they're gonna need to really find that diamond in the rough. That I'm not gonna say they can find like a Richard Sherman or Cam Chancellor-esque find, but they really need to, you know, dig deep and find a quality player in the rounds that they have picks. Like we said, they don't pick to what, 76, and so yeah. You know, they gotta find that like that Nas Jones type player that can contribute when he steps on the field.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is Nas Jones is interior pass rush. It's right. A little easier to find those guys.
I was gonna say just like the caliber.
No, of I know. I'm just yeah. like, but like, there's a reason why Nas Jones was there. Although, you know, I mean, I guess he was probably two rounds later than you'd expect. But oh, all right. Well, this has been a real bummer of a cat. Hopefully, we just nail these next couple rounds. We come back this weekend, and we're just so stoked.
That's okay. I want to be stoked. So, you know, whoever's listening to this, if they're in the war room right now, please just have us be stoked by the end of the weekend.
Man, Josh Rosen's great. I loved it. I loved that he was like in the moment. He's like, there were 9 mistakes picked ahead of me. And then he's like, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. There were only 3 mistakes taken ahead of me. The quarterback. That's baller. I like this guy. Ugh.
You know, I'm always a fan of the players that have swagger, like, on and off the field, and, like, walk it, talk it, and so Josh Rosen, to me, like, he was one of my favorite players in the draft because of that, and to see him go to the Cardinals where he could succeed for 10 years, that sucks.
That's not good, man. It's not good. He could be very, like, obviously Aaron Rodgers is an upside. He could be very Cutler. He could be very Brian Greasy, like a little too smart for the locker room. Good but not great. You know, ends up being the sort of guy who becomes a journeyman because he alienates his coaches. You know, like that is definitely in play for him. But he could also be Aaron Rodgers. So, you know.
That sucks.
Yeah, not great.
You know what doesn't suck?
What?
The Locked on Seahawks podcast.
Hey, that's us.
Yeah, that's us. And you can tell us that we don't suck in the form of an iTunes review, preferably with 5 stars. And you can reach out to us on Twitter. You know, recently I've been a little quiet when it comes to the microphone level, so someone reached out. And so, you know, I'm actively trying to fix it. So we listen to your suggestions and, you know, we take your advice. And then, you know, it's up to you to give it to us. And so we'll listen.
Honestly, I'm barely on Twitter at this point as of like a week and a half ago.
The penny pick was the nail in the coffin. So if you reach out to me on Twitter, yeah, at Grant Goldberg.
I check my mentions like every day or two now, so I'll see it. I'll get there before we pod.
All right, but we want to thank you for listening to this episode. You can let us know how you feel about the Rashad penny pick. You can reach out to me on Twitter. You can, you know, say something to Spike. I don't know if he's gonna, you know, see it in time, but yeah, we're accessible. So, you know, keep listening, keep reaching out. And so for the Locked on Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
Spike Friedman also signing off.